St. Dominic's Catholic Church in San Francisco presents a homily by Father Christopher Wetzel on September 1st, 2019, the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today's Gospel is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 and 7 to 14, proclaimed by Father Vincent Talber.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went out to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may be invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends, or your brothers, or your relatives, or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Around 200 years after the death of Christ, early Christian monks and hermits began to live apart from civilization, out in the desert of Egypt, so as to seek God away from the distractions of city life. They found great wisdom in the desolation of the desert. And some of that wisdom comes down to us today, in the form of the sayings of the Desert Fathers, the Desert Abbas. First reading from the book of Sirach tells us, "The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise." So let us listen with an attentive ear to a few of the sayings of the Desert Fathers. Abba Anthony said, "Whoever hammers a lump of iron first decides what he is going to make of it, a scythe, a sword, or an axe. Even so, we ought to make up our minds what kind of virtue we want to forge, or we labor in vain. Abba Matthew said, "The nearer a man approaches to God, the greater sinner he sees himself to be. For the prophet Isaiah saw God and said that he was unclean and undone." A brother asked Abba Theotes, "Which way leads to humility?" The old man said, "The way to humility is this: self-control, prayer, and thinking yourself inferior to all creatures." These short sayings, and there are many more like them, are a lived-out commentary on Jesus' words in the gospel: "Everyone who humbles himself will be exalted, but the one who exalts himself will be humbled." Make up your minds as to what kind of virtue you want to forge, or else your labor will be in vain. Do you want to be a saint? Do you want to have true joy? Do you want to be holy, to be close to God, to have his peace? Then humility is the necessary virtue that you must forge. Without humility, happiness is impossible. What is humility? Humility, fundamentally, to be humble, is to believe in the core of your being that life is not about you. Humility is seeing yourself as God sees you, as one of his many beloved children. True humility is seeing both your own emptiness and sinfulness, but also God's fullness in you and in others. We all have a tendency to be prideful, to think of ourselves as being owed something for being good, to give ourselves a pass, to think that the rules don't apply to us, that we deserve the best place at the table. Pride is the root of all sin, because all sin begins with the thought that we know better than God, that we know what will bring us happiness, what is best. When we sin, we trust too much in our own judgment, in our own reasoning. We knowingly choose the lesser good, mistakenly thinking that our shortcut will bring us to happiness. But it won't. That's why it's a sin. Pride is a terrible and insidious sin, because it turns even good deeds into evil ones. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who are praying in the temple? The Pharisee takes up his position, and he spoke this prayer to himself: "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of my whole income." Tax collector, he stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, "O God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And he went away justified. The Pharisee did not receive anything. In fact, all the good deeds of the Pharisee, and they are good, paying taxes and fasting and praying, all that's very good, they actually reduce his love of neighbor and love of God. And even worse, they blind him to his failure. He thinks he's doing a good job. But that the tax collector sees what is real, that he is a sinner, but more importantly, that God's mercy can overcome his sin. So how do we slay the pride that is within us? Listen again to the wisdom of the desert. A brother asked Abba Thitoez, "Which way leads to humility?" The old man said, "The way to humility is this: self-control, prayer, and thinking yourself inferior to all creatures." So first, self-control. Practice telling yourself no, so that you can say yes to others. We obsess about our own needs and wants, but yet ignore those same needs and wants in our neighbor. And we do have real needs that do need to be met, but in the big picture, it is far better to care for the needs of others, the needs of our neighbor, rather than our own. And this takes self-control. Because remember, everything that we have and are, everything that we do, any good thing, does not come from ourselves, but rather has been given to us by God. We do not create ourselves. Our existence is borrowed, as it were. And our Creator, what does he do? Does he cling to his power and exalt himself over us? No. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found in human appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. If not even God Almighty chooses his own good over the good of others, as Jesus did on the cross, how foolish are we to think that we will find happiness in pride and in selfishness? But by self-control, we carry the cross along with Christ and share in his triumph. But unlike Christ, we are weak, we are sinful. We cannot overcome our pride and sinfulness and selfishness on our own. We fail. So prayer is necessary. Pray for sorrow for your sins. Pray like the tax collector, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner," and you will have his mercy. Out of pride, we tend to think that our small sins don't really matter. They're not a problem. We don't let them bother us. Everyone does that. It's okay. But what great musician is there that thinks that the small notes don't matter? They're okay, small mistakes. They're fine. No one will notice in the symphony. How much more should we ask God for a greater attention to detail in our spiritual lives? Finally, think of yourself as inferior to all creatures. And this is a tricky one. We tend to think that this means telling others how lowly we are and hiding our gifts lest others form a positive, a high opinion of us. But this is exactly opposite of the case. C.S. Lewis puts it this way: "Do not imagine that if you were to meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be the sort of greasy, smarmy person who is always telling you that, of course, he is nobody. Probably, all you will think about him is that he seemed to be a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. If you do dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all." Only true humility brings authentic joy and peace. So let us today not think of ourselves, but in humility approach Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant of mercy, his sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. Blood shed that says, whoever humbles himself will be exalted.